We're beginning today our limud of Hilchos Geiros. As you may have noticed, Hilchos Geiros in Shulchan Aruch takes up all of two simanim. But as we'll see, in practice, much of what you need to know for Geiros is more common sense and ability to discern than the actual formal halachas that we'll talk about. Why Geiros is part of the fourth Halacha L'maisa curriculum, I'm not fully certain of. As it used to be, B'shanim Kamonim, until relatively recent years, that Geiros in America was a local matter, and if a Geiros needed to be done, the local rabbi would do the Geiros, and often a generation or two ago, he would just bring in two, at best, rabbinic colleagues who never met the candidate before and just came with him to the mikveh. The second best, he'd have two Shomer Shabbos Balabatim. Then he'd bring the two other Dayanim who just came because the rabbi asked him. At worst, it would be non-Shomer Shabbos Balabatim, or even worse than that, we had a couple of cases of rabbis that we discovered sat with their brothers on a Geiros. So that is Pasul Choladeus, notwithstanding one funny Mordechai that maybe has a contrary Mashmos, but not Lalacha. So there are many worse than options, but in a generation ago I would understand why this is a critical part of the fourth year Halacha L'maaseh curriculum, because it was something that every rabbi in the field would do. Achshu Dara, in the last 10 years, the RCA has made a tremendous tikkun in America in centralizing Geiros to a specific regional Batei Din that perform Geiros as a Bezdin, not as a local rabbi, which has, I think, made a significant tikkun in the way Geiros is performed in America. In the old system, you'd have problems of pressure on the local rabbi because the congregant's son wants to marry a non-Jewish girl, and he wants the rabbi to convert her, and if the rabbi doesn't, then he'll be unemployed. Or situations where there were uneven standards and different local rabbis would have different standards and you couldn't figure out what the standards were or which rabbis are reliable, which rabbis aren't reliable, so someone would show up in another country, another community with a Ksav Geiros and you couldn't figure out who the rabbis were or what the standards were, whether it's acceptable or not, and there were things being rejected left and right. So having a centralized system with clear standards that everyone knows about with full disclosure, with a network of Batei Din that are recognized around the world, has been a tremendous tikkun in the world of Geiros. So I would have argued that with the new reality, Geiros should have been moved from the fourth year Halacha L'maaseh curriculum to the contemporary Halacha curriculum and maybe have a couple of shiurim on Geiros and call it a day. However, there is still value in spending time in the Lima, number one, because it's a fun Lima, number two, because even as Rabbanim in the field, you will encounter candidates who are interested in Geiros. And while the Beis Din does the formal acts of Geiros and makes the final decision as to who to accept or not, their first line of defense, so to speak, when dealing with prospective Geirim is the local rabbi. The rabbi who's going to sponsor the candidate to the Beis Din, the rabbi who's going to be responsible for the education of the candidate, for working with them, and for representing to Beis Din, whether it's a serious candidate, whether Beis Din should work with the person. So while the formal halachos of Geiros that we'll discuss may not be something you'll be doing on a regular basis, in all likelihood, wherever you end up in Chinuch or Rabbanus, you'll encounter people that may be interested in Geiros, and you need to be properly educated as to how to deal with them. So the first series of Shiurim, before we get to the formal steps of Geiros, will focus more on the Geiros process leading up to Geiros, which is something that every rabbi should be aware of. Okay. The Gemara tells us in Krisos on Daf Tes that the basic steps of Geiros, the formal steps of the Maisa Geiros, we learn from the experience of Klai Yisrael leading up to Mamad Har Sinai, from Yitzis Mitzrayim to Mamad Har Sinai, Mila, Tefila, and Arsa Stam. You need Mila for males, you need Tefila for everybody, and you need to bring a Korban. The Gemara says nowadays you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you can still do Geiros without a Korban. The Gemara records that originally, in the immediate aftermath of the Korban, people would set aside money to bring a Korban Meheri Bana Mikdash. Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai got rid of that practice because he was worried about Hekdesh funds getting misused. Rabbi Yochum doesn't make Korban at the moment, we don't do. And Meheri Bana Mikdash, there'll be a need for a Korban. So we'll talk about all that as we go along, but before we get to the Mila Tefila Arsastam, before we end the Kabbalah Mitzvahs, as we'll discuss, before we get to the formal steps of the actual Maisa Geiris, there's a process until you get to that point. So what do we know about that process? Is there a requirement? Is there a imperative? Is it a good thing, a bad thing to be Makabel Geirim, to facilitate Geirim through the process of Geiris? How do we relate to people who express an interest in becoming Geirim? So there are conflicting marmakomos, which we'll see aren't necessarily conflicting, but represent two perspectives on the issue that are both valid in their own context. So famously, I think if you stop anyone in the street and ask them what are the most salient features of the Geirus process, they probably tell you, oh, well, you have to try to push a Geir away three times. You heard that? Okay, so everyone heard that. Where does that come from? It's not in the Gemara. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. So in our standard sources of Hilchos Geirus, it doesn't appear. It's a Medrash, right. So someone saw the Marmar Kamos. It's a Medrash with Rabbah. So the Medrash records, Rus Rabba Beis Tes Zayin, that we learn from the three times that Naomi says to Rus Shovna that you should be Docha a Ger three times. So that's the source. It's quoted in the Rokeach. But aside from that, it doesn't really appear in the classic sources of Hilchos Geirus. Whether or not there is a formal requirement of being docha three times, and for a little bit more elaboration of that, you can read Rabbi Reis's article in the Zeva Tov, which was the volume put out in honor of Rabbi Kalap, and Rabbi Kalap retired as Menahel of the Yeshiva. But whether or not there is a formal requirement of being docha three times, there definitely is such an orientation in Halach. And that we do find in the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Yevamos, and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The main Geirus Sugyos appear in the fourth parak of Yevamos from Daf Mem Hei through Mem Zayin. And the Gemara tells us on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, about 10 lines from the bottom, Ger Shabbat L'Isgayir B'Zman Azeh. So the Ger comes and expresses interest in converting nowadays. Omer Lo, Ma Re'isa Shabbat L'Isgayir. Why are you interested in doing this? Yeta Yodea She'Yisrael B'Zman Azeh, Dibuyim, Dechufim, Schufim, Mitzurafim, V'Yisurim Ba'am Aleim. Don't you know that the Jewish people are persecuted and pummeled and various synonyms for things that happen to us? So why would you want to be a part of this nation? If he says, I'm well aware of anti-Semitism, I'm well aware of the odds being stacked against us, and nevertheless I want to join the Jewish people, then we accept him. We inform him of a smattering, a selection of easy mitzvahs, a smattering, a selection of difficult mitzvahs. We tell him, when you're not Jewish, there are no consequences of violating a virus. When you become Jewish, there are consequences, etc. And then the Gemara goes on to describe the formal process of Geirus. So the Gemara does have this notion of dechia, that if someone comes and expresses interest in conversion, you have to try to push him away, try to ask him, are you seriously interested in this? Do you understand the repercussions, both physically and spiritually, the persecution that is a part of being part of the Jewish people, the consequences of violating mitzvos ha-Torah? Why is it that there's such an orientation? Why do we need to be doche geirim initially? So the Gemara concludes, my taima. So why is it that we tell him mitzvahs, mitzvahs kalos, mitzvahs, mitzvahs chamuros? We tell him about the schufim, dechufim thing. De'i parish nifrash, about 15 lines on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, to give him the opportunity to retract, to go back, to have second thoughts, to not proceed. The Amrif Kalbo, Kashim Geirim Li Yisrael Kisapachas, that Geirim posed difficulties for the Jewish people like a sapachas, like one of the shades of Tsaras. Dechsiv and Ova Geir Alehem, Benisbechu Al Beis Yaakov, pasuk in Yeshaya. Okay, so the Gemara connects this orientation of Dechiyah, the attempt to convince a prospective ger that they don't really want to do it. So the Gemara connects it to the statement of Reb Chelbo of Kashim Gerim L'Yisrael Kisapachas. So what is the intention of Reb Chelbo? What is this Kashim Kisapachas? So in the Rishonim, there are two opposing streams of thought. Is this a problem with Gerim, that there's something negative about Gerim, or is it something so positive about Gerim that it casts aspersions on regular Yisraelim that don't meet the high standards of Gerim? So if you look in Rashi over here, Rashi writes, "D'yamar mar kashim Gerim liyisrael kisapachas, lashem sapachas she'ofsim maseim harishonim." They continue to embrace their original activities, their original inclinations. V'lom d'misrael mehem. So a ger may be inclined to still fall back on some things that he used to do when he wasn't Jewish, and that's going to be a bad influence on born Jews. Oh, somchem aleihem b'iser v'heter. Or the ger is going to act in such a way that's not in accordance with halakha, perhaps due to insufficient knowledge, and other born Jews are going to learn from their mistake. So according to Rashi, it sounds like there's some chisaron in Gerim that's going to have a negative influence on what we'll call born Yisraelim. The Rambam seems to understand it in a similar light. If you look in the Rambam, Perek Yud Gimel, Yisurei Bia, Hilchos Gerim from the Rambam appears in Yisurei Bia, the end of Perek Yud Beis through Perek Yud Dalet. So the Rambam writes in the end of Perek Yud Gimel of Yisurei Bia, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Ches, Midneza Amru Chachamim Kashim Lahem Geru Yisrael Kineget Saras Sheruban Chozrin Bishvil Davar Umatin Es Yisrael. That most Gerim convert for ulterior motivation and they lead Yisraelim astray. V'kasha Davar Lifrash Mehem Akashin Es Gairu. Or Ruban Chozrin, they're going to go back to their previous behaviors. And once they're Jewish, it'll be difficult. Once they convert, it'll be difficult to cut off contact. Say ulman ma'ira b'midbar b'maisa egel v'kivra sataiva v'chein rov ha'nisyonos ha'safsuf hayu b'hen chila. So the maisa egel, the perpetrators, are the Erevrav, who are some class of gerim, and the asafsuf, the Rambam understands, are some class of gerim. There's a medrash like that. So that was a negative influence on the rest of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam and Rashi seem to understand that because there's a certain tendency to relapse or to not abandon previous behaviors that could have a negative influence on others, that is the hesitancy of Kashin Gerim LiYisrael Kisapachas. If you look at the Me'iri in Yevamos Kuftes Amud Aleph Dibur Maskel Liolam, the Gemara there on Kuftes also has this Memra. Or Gemara has a similar memra. So the Me'iri on Kuftes Amud Beis, Dibra Maskel La'olam. The Me'iri writes the following: La'olam yehi adam nimna shelo lekabel gerim. So person should be wary to be mekabel gerim. El imkein achar bechina gedola, unless there is proper vetting done. Aladerach Shisbar b'Masaf Dezu, reference to what we just saw in Daf Mem Zayim, Shema Mitoch Ezosiba Hamis Gairim. Because what's the concern? That maybe someone's going to come in Megayir due to ulterior motivations. The Ein Kavanosim Nikiya Mikol Vakol, and they don't have pure intent. Ukishin Iskairu Uparcha Sibasam, and then after the Megayir and the original reason for the conversion no longer applies, Hema Kilim B'Dikduke Mitzvos. So they're going to be lax in their performance of mitzvos. They won't be as motivated. The Yisrael made the mehem. V'husha amru kashim gerim liyisrael kisapachas. The Me'iri says the question of the Gemara is because we're concerned there may be people that convert for ulterior motivation. They won't be, and over time, they're not going to be sufficiently motivated to keep up with the observance. So there's a little bit of mashmos that the Me'iri's Chashash of Sapakos may be more limited. The Me'iri's Chashash is a situation where someone converts for ulterior motivation, so then we're concerned that once the impetus kind of goes away, they won't be as committed, and that'll have a negative influence on other Yisraelim. The Rashi and the Rambam sound more like it's a concern by any ger, even if they convert for the best reasons in the world, but there's still some tendency to relapse or to eventually embrace or continue to embrace previous practices that could have a negative influence on other Yisraelim. Although if you look in the Bach seems to understand, the Bach in Siman Reis Samaches, Sivkat and Dalet, seems to understand the Me'iri more, the Rabbi and Rashi more along the lines of the Me'iri. Sam?
They will all agree, though, that this, the test and all these questions would like make that concern no longer relevant.
Well, not entirely. We will see in the Rambam adds to what the Gemara says, so that in of itself may not be sufficient, but they would all agree that the questions of the Gemara play a role in addressing this concern.
Okay.
Whether it totally addresses the concern, we'll see, may not be the whole picture. Okay, so Rashi, Rambam, Me'iri seems to understand Sapachas as some concern that a ger is going to retain certain vestiges of her previous life, and that may have a negative impact on other Yisraelim, and that's why the Gemara has a cautionary note about trying to dissuade prospective gerim. Rashi and Nida has a different approach that he quotes and rejects. Rashi and Nida, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Dibra Maskel Kisapachas. The Gemara there has this memory as well. Rashi and Nida, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi quotes an opinion, V'yesh Omer. Now, what's the concern? Shekol Yisrael arevim zebazeh. That we know there's a principle of arvus. So on some level, if any Jew sins, the rest of Kla Yisrael has culpability, accountability. So since there is arvus, then if we're going to add more people to the mix, then there is more of a likelihood that we're going to suffer consequences for more potential avaryanim. Because there's the notion of arvus, kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, there's some accountability for the averus done by any member of Klal Yisrael, so if we're adding, it's not, could be even without the concern that there is a rate of recidivism among gerim, but the fact that we're adding more people to this mix of arvus may have consequences for all of Klal Yisrael. Then Rashi rejects that. Rashi says, "V'la milsehi shalonis arva b'shul gerim." Gerim are in fact not included in the principle of arvus. Darmina b'masachas sota daflam mezayin mebeis. There the Gemara references the fact that one level of arvus was achieved at Har Sinai, and it corresponded to the members of Klal Yisrael at the time, and the implication is that arvus was limited to those there at the time and not to future gerim. So Rashi rejects this Yesh Misha Omer simply because he believes that gerim are not included in arvus, which is also the position, it seems, of Tosfos there. Tosfos in Kiddushin on Daf, I think it's Daf Pei. So Daf Ayin. Tosfos Kiddushin Ayin Amibayz Dibur Maskel Kashim, and the Tosfos here in Yevamos on Daf Mem Zayin Amibayz. So Tosfos Ayin Amibayz in Kiddushin. Tosfos also seem to assume, like Rashi, that there's no arvus for a gerim. That potentially could have significant consequences. This is parenthetical. But if there's no arvus for gerim, then a ger couldn't function as a shliach tzibur to be motzi harabim yedei chavasam, if there's no arvus for gerim. The whole notion of yotzi motzi is predicated, one second, Avi, on Arvus. So that's not how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Simen Nun Gimel, Sif Yutes. Simen Nun Gimel, Sif Yutes. We pass in that a ger can function as a Shliach Tzibur. So it seems that we assume, la'alacha, that there is Arvus for gerim. Gerim are included in Arvus. But it's a little bit curious that in the later poskim, this Rashi and Tosas don't come so much into consideration as to why we don't seem to be concerned about Dereshita, that there's no Arvus for Gerim, which could have nafkamina for many areas of halacha in terms of Yatzamotzi. In the Sefer Mishnah Sager, which I'm introducing now for the first time, Rav Moshe Klein, ben Rav Menashe Klein, ben Rav Menashe Katan, Mishnah Sager, I noticed today there's one copy in circulation in the library that's still on the shelf, so whoever runs out of here fastest can take it out. So this I think is probably the best and most extensive Kitzer book on Hilchos Geiris on the market. There are two sections. The first section is a Kitzer Halachos with footnotes, and the second section are Simanim, more Marachos. But anyway, he points out over here in the second section, Simen Pei Beis, Simen Pei Beis, the second section of Mishnah Sager, that if you look in the Chidushei HaMarit in Kedushin and Daf Ayin, so the Chidushei HaMarit there has other rayas from other Gemaras that we do include Gerim in Arvus. There seems to be a Beferish Gemara in Shavuos. Daf Lamed Tesef and Aleph, there the Gemara discusses Arvus, and the Gemara there says that Eli Elohom de Mal Har Sinai, so I know that those people that were actually present at Har Sinai, were included in the principle of Arvus. Doros Habayim v'gerim asidim l'sgari minayim. How do we know that the future generations and gerim that are going to be megayim in the future are also included in Arvus? Tamalomar v'eis asherei nenu po imanu hayom. So that seems to be pretty befavorish that Gerim are included in Arvus. So this is a parenthetical, at least for the moment. La'alacha, we seem to assume in Shulchan Aruch that Gerim are Bechlal Arvus, but Rashi and Tosos are of the opinion that Gerim are not Bechlal Arvus. Be that as it may, so back to our Reb Chelbo. So far we've quoted those we've shown him that indicate that Reb Chelbo's statement is a reflection of some concern about a negative tendency on the part of Gerim that could have a detrimental effect on other members of Klal Yisrael. Tosos has the opposite approach. So Tosos, among other places here on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Dibur Maskil Kashim Gerim Liyisrael Kisapachas. The Gemara is talking about Arvus. The Gemara says, I know that the people that were present at Har Sinai were Bechlal Arvus. How do we know about the coming generations in Gerim? Tamalomar, the Esa Sherei Nenupo, Imano Amirei on the Pasim Parashas Nitzav. So the Beferisha, it sounds like a Beferisha Gemara, that Gerim are Bechlal Arvus. How do Rashi and Tosus here deal with that Gemara? I haven't seen anyone discuss it. If you find anything, let me know. Les Akamar is dealing with the limited context of Shavuos and not talking about Arvus in the Yatzamotzi context, maybe. Avi.
So, based on the Shana we're asking on what a Ger could consider as Shia Tzibor, because of Arvus, what about, but that's in respect of the discussion Chazal where a Ger can say, okay, I was saying it.
Yeah, that's in his private tefillah.
That's not even reflecting on the public at all.
Right, are we passing that you can say, okay, Avram, and therefore. In theory, those two issues are unrelated. L'maisa, we pass on both of them, Agir, Kibish, Tzibur, and Yagir, does say, okay, no, okay, but say no. Okay. So Tosus here has a different mahalach. Tosus, the end of Dibur Maskil, Kashim, Gerim, Yisrael, Ketabachas, V'yesh Mefarshim, Lefi, Shebe Yoser, Husaru, Yisrael, Al Gerim, V'ein Yecholim, Lizar, Me'onasam. The reason that there's a certain reticence towards accepting Gerim is because we have to treat Gerim with such tremendous respect that there's a super lav of anas Gerim beyond the regular lav of anas for any person. There's an additional lav of anas Gerim, and because that's more chamor, so we should be nervous about accepting Gerim in a way that's going to be mechayiv us to be extra careful in anas Gerim. So dafka, because of the exalted status of a ger, we are reticent in accepting Gerim. If you look in the Tosfos Yeshanim here, Os Beis, on the margin, Odesh Mefarshim, Lefi Shakarish Baruch Hu Manish Osanu Al Yadam, that we are going to be punished, or we're potentially liable to be punished, Kishemetiv Maseim, when the Gerim are Megayer and they act properly, the Omer Kihu Roah She'ein Anu Nisharim B'Mitzvos Kamosam, and then that's going to be a kitrik on us foreign Jews. This person who came from nothing and embraced Judaism is so observant and so mindful of halacha and such a Yirei Shemayim and such a wonderful person, and all these people who are born with it don't reach the level of this gear. That's going to be a kitrig on us. That's going to be a kitrig against the other born Jews. Now, why can't we reach the level? Why can't we be as frum, as observant, as conscientious as the Gerim who embraced the faith on their own? So this is the other perspective on Tzapachas. It's dafka because the Gerim are such special people, and we either have to be careful about their or no, or because they're going to be better than we are in our observance, that's going to create a kitrug against other Jews. And that's the reason for the reticence. Okay. There's another opinion of Rishonim that the Beis Yosef quotes, which is not a extension of Reb Chelbo per se, but an additional reason that there's a requirement to disabuse prospective Gerim of any misimpressions they may have about the religion and make sure that they know what they're getting into. The Beis Yosef here, Dibur Baskel Ukishaba, quotes from the Smag. Shach quotes this as well. That the Smag says, the reason we say Mara Isa, why are you interested in becoming Jewish? Don't you know about the persecution? Don't you know about Mrs. Kalos and Chamuros, and they have to be sufficiently educated into what they're getting into, is Shelo Yomar Acher Kein Ilu Ayisi Yodeya Lo Ayisi Mizgayer. That you shouldn't have buyer's remorse. You shouldn't create a situation where someone comes, says they want to be Jewish, and Mizgayer them, and then the morning after, they realize what they got themselves into. So there has to be full disclosure so that no one can claim afterwards that they were not fully informed about what Judaism involves. So what does that mean? So what would the din be? Someone comes the next morning and says, oops, I didn't realize what I was getting into. And then what? So in the Mishnah Sager, the back Simon Vav, he has three possibilities, which really are two possibilities. That does this mag mean to say that it's going to be a gerus done under false pretenses and it's not chal, like some form of mekaftos? Or does he mean that we're concerned about his welfare? The gerus is going to be a good gerus. All the steps of the gerus are done properly. He accepted upon himself whatever he's supposed to accept. But now he's going to violate a verus because he didn't realize what he's getting himself into, and we're responsible for him being punished for violating a verus as a Jew. So either way, we're concerned about buyer's remorse, and the Smach said that's the reason that we require the whole give and take, the whole conversation between whoever's having the conversation and the prospective ger. The Rambam adds another layer over here as to what our concern is. The Rambam begins Perek Yudalid as follows. Yudalid Yisiri B Halacha Aleph. Kesen Mekavli Geri Atzedek. So in Perek Yud Gimel, the Rambam tells us what the formal steps of Geiris are that we'll discuss in due time. Now Perek Yudalid, we're going backwards. Kesa Mekablin Geri HaSedek Kishayavo Echad Lizgayir Min HaAkum V'yivduchu Achara V'lo Yimsu Ila. So if someone comes to be Megayir and we check after him and we don't find any other cause for his interest, meaning we don't find evidence of ulterior motivation, then Omim lo Mara Isa Shavasul Lizgayir Yeta Yodea Sheyisrab Ezvanu Zed Devuyin Duchufim Sluchim Terafim Tsurim, etc. So the Rambam says before you get to the Gemara Mem Zayin, there's another step that the Gemara didn't explicitly tell you. Maybe it's obvious. It's obvious for the Gemara Kaf Dalet, which we'll talk about, that before you ask the formal questions or why you're interested, you have to do a little bit of research. Determine whether this person is coming lishma, or is he coming due to ulterior motivations. Now, we'll discuss soon, not today, what is the status of geiris performed on someone who does come for ulterior motivations. That's not today's year. But our interest now is just the Rambam presents that as a preamble. Before you get to Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin, you have to be concerned about Yevamos Kaf Dalet, that you shouldn't be megayer for ulterior motivation, and you have to weed those people out, and then we get to the second step of the pre-geiris process, which is the Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin. Shuvas Beis Yitzchak points out, Yitzchak Shmelkis, Chelek Yerodea, Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Os Dalet, Beis Yitzchak, Yerodea, Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Os Dalet, Beis Kuf Dalet, that Lashon HaRambam, the Yivdiku Akharav implies, Yivdiku Akharav implies that you don't take the perspective Garrett his word. You have to do independent investigation. He'll come and tell you that he's converting for sincere motivation, but you have to do some independent investigation to determine maybe there are other ulterior motives that don't present themselves immediately. Okay. Again, that's something that we'll address in its own time. What is the status of geiris performed for ulterior motivations? Avi.
Can you explain maybe what I'm missing from the Rambam or the Yitzchak Shmelkis that you said? What the Rambam is basically saying, don't take geirim at their word, make sure to investigate them.
Right.
More than just, you know, Am Yisrael, the Chuyim, the Chupim.
That's a conversation between you and the geir. You have to understand, the geir has to understand, you have to be comfortable the geir understands what they're getting into. That's not going to tell you what their motivation is.
So it's like cross-examination and is like...
So the Rambam says, before you get to that, before you have that conversation, you have to do some investigation to determine whether this is a sincerely motivated geiris or a geiris for ulterior motivations.
Now
he's just pointing out Lashon HaRambam, the Yivdiku Akharav maybe would have said that you asked them, are you converting for the right reasons or the wrong reasons? So the mashmos of the Yivdiku Akharav is, no, you can't take them at their word. Even if they tell you they're converting for the right reasons, you have to do some independent investigation and establish a comfort level if that is indeed the case. Okay, so again, we'll geiris for ulterior motivation we'll discuss soon, but not today. So far we've seen the orientation of the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin, perhaps the more extreme Medrash Rabbah, that indicates a approach of dechia, of trying to dissuade prospective geirim from converting, of kashim geirim kisapachas, either because we're concerned that they're going to have a negative influence or because they're going to have a positive influence that's going to make us look bad, whatever the reasoning is. On the other hand, there is a separate orientation of facilitating a geiris process and encouraging it. So in the Hemshach of Gemara and Daf Mem Zayin and Beis, the Gemara said it earlier and it repeats it here, so we'll just read it the second time. Mem Zayin and Beis, halfway down the two dots. The Ein Marbin Olav, Ein Medaktigin Olav. So even though you have to ask a certain line of questioning, but don't make it too extreme, don't make it too intense, and don't investigate too much. Says the Gemara, Amr Blazer, Mikra, what's the source for this din? Dixiv, again, Megillus Rus, Vatera Kimis Ametzes, he lalachasita, Vatechdala daberi laha. So Naomi saw that Rus was serious, she was persistent, and she stopped trying to dissuade her. Now, this is a famous Gemara. Amala, Asulan Tkum Shabbos, Bashir Talich Elech, Asulan Yichud, Bashir Talini Alin, Vifatina Sheshmios, Vyugimel Mitzvos, Amechani, Asulan Rodozara, Lakai Chalakai, Arbe Misos Nimsul Bez, Bashir Tamus Yamus, Viz Kvarm Nimsul Bez, Mishama Kaver, Miyad Vetereki Misabes. So this is back and forth. She tried to inform Rus of all the, or at least a spattering of the halachos that you need to know, the fact that there are Sintai Taryag mitzvos. She was persistent. She wanted to go with the head anyway. So at that point, she saw she was serious, and she stopped trying to dissuade her. Then the Gemara says, at that point, once we're convinced of the fact that full disclosure was provided, at that point, Malin Osomiyat, at that point we proceed with the formal Geiris, Maitaima, Shihuye Mitzvah Lo Mashinan. We shouldn't delay a mitzvah. So even though the initial approach is one of Tachiya, once you see someone serious, so then you should proceed, you shouldn't overly discourage, and you should proceed with a Geiris at the appropriate time without delay. The next line of Rus Rabba, right after the line that says Shovna, 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 that you have to be Docha three times, there the Medrash of the next line has a corrective. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Pasuked Iyo V'chutz Lo Yalinger La'olam Yehei Adam Docha B'Smol U'Mekabli B'Min. So at the same time that you're trying to push the Ger away with your left hand, so to speak, you should be Mekar of them with your right hand. There has to be a balance between the dissuasion, the Dechia, the full disclosure, and accepting people that deserve to be accepted. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. On Daf Sadi Tassam and Beis, the Gemara tells the story of Timnah. Timnah, who was the Pilegesh of Eliphaz, the son of Esav, wanted to be Megayer, so to speak. He wanted to join the Zera of Ram. And the Avos pushed her away. And the Gemara says that was a kitrig on the Avos for pushing her away, and that led to the birth of a Amalek, because Timnah was the Pilegesh of Eliphaz, and from that union came a Amalek. So the Gemara has that as a taina against the Avos, that they shouldn't have been Docha Timnah, they pushed her away, and because they pushed her away, she ended up with the wrong crowd, and ended up causing the birth of a Amalek. So that's what Tosafot points out. There's what seems to be a tension. So are we supposed to be docha? Are we supposed to be mekarev? Are we supposed to push away? Are we supposed to encourage? So the Tosafot says in Yevamos and Daf Kuftes Amud Beis, Diver Maskel Ra'ah Chara'ah. The Gemara here says Ra'ah Chara'ah Tavol Mekabli Gerim. So there's evil in store, or bad news for those people that are Mekabel Gerim. The Tosafot writes Amari. The Hainu Hecha Shemasino San Lisgayer. So that's where they encourage the Gerim to be Megayer on their own. Oshem Kablan of San Miyad. So either they're converting for ulterior motivation, or the Beis Din accepts them immediately without due process, or without the proper vetting. Aval. Imhein Misamsin Lisgayer. But if they are serious and persistent of being Megayer, Yeshlanu Lakablan, then we should accept them. Sharei Matzino Shenenchu Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Shelo Kiblu Latimna Shabal Lisgayer V'Achav Aysev Pilegesh Olifas Benesav Enafik Minei Amalek Nitzarin El Yisrael. So that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the others were punished for pushing away Timna. They should have accepted her, and because they pushed her away, that led to Amalek. V'Gam Yoshua Kiblu Rachav Azona V'Nama Rus HaMoavia. So there are examples in Tanakh of Geirei Tzedek being accepted. So while it is true that there is an initial orientation of Dechia, at the point that there's a seriousness on the part of the prospective Ger, so then that prospective Ger should be accepted. Okay. The Bach, Sam? Avin?
Yeah, so basically what
Tosafot
is just pointing out, what we said previously, was there a
Chiddush
in
Tosafot's
really, or?
Well, Tosafot is pointing out that the Gemara's negative statements about Mekabli Gerim apply to Gerim that aren't properly vetted, don't go through due process, or for ulterior motivation. And the Gemara's statement that you should be Mekabli Gerim is talking about Gerim Tzedek that are coming for the right reasons and went through the proper vetting process. Okay. The Bach Simen Reis Samaches Sifkat Hay, thinks that the Gemara's presentation on Mem Zayin of Modi and Nixas Kalos and Nixas Chamuras and Schar Ve'Onesh that he has to tell them a smattering of some of the easy halachas, a smattering of some of the difficult halachas, and the fact that there is Karva Onesh, that's reflective of both sides of this coin, of both the Dechiya and the Kiruv. On the one hand, we're telling them that there are a lot of mitzvahs chamuros, there are mitzvahs of great consequence, and mitzvahs with significant repercussions for not keeping them, and that may discourage them from converting. However, then the Bach writes, V'hodimodi and kalos is kar mitzvah, but why do we also tell them about the easy mitzvahs, the mitzvahs kalos and skar mitzvahs? Hainu taima, the shema kavanasa l'shamayim. Maybe indeed this perspective yer is sincerely motivated. He's coming for all the right reasons. V'imlo hodiuhu kalos uskar hamitzvahs. If we're not going to tell him about the mitzvahs kalos and the skar, gormin litardo latosa miderech tova liderech ra. So we're going to push him away, and that would be inappropriate. This guy is sincerely interested in being megayer for all the right reasons, so we shouldn't push him away. So we should give him some solace in the fact that it's not all hard, that there are some easier things, and there is a lot of scar waiting. He's going to think that it's a dangerous religion where he's always on the precipice of falling into Onesh, and there are no opportunities for scar. We only have Mrs. Chamuros, and then we're going to unfairly, unnecessarily, inappropriately push him away. That's why we tell him, no, there are Mrs. Kalos and there are Mrs. Chamuros, there's Skar and there's Onesh, but if you're really motivated, then there's Skar and it's not all that bad. Interestingly, the Me'iri has a different take. The Me'iri on Memzayin Amun Aleph Dibur Maskul Kvar, Memzayin Amun Aleph Dibur Maskul Kvar, the Me'iri thinks that even the Hodas Mitzvahs Kalos is part of the attempt to dissuade. So we take a two-tiered approach. So first we tell them about the mitzvahs chamuros, so that's going to maybe dissuade them that there are a lot of chamur mitzvahs that require effort and have severe consequence. And then mitzvahs kalos, you have someone who's coming from a society that doesn't pay attention to detail. Lashon HaMe'iri, Ovdei Alilim Ein Lehem Bedarkei Dateyem Vavodas Elileyem Mitzvos Yiseiros. That the other religions are concerned about the big picture, not the small picture. They're not concerned about how you tie your shoe in the morning, or what you do when you get up, or how to conduct yourself in the minutia of daily life. If you go to the base of a Zara once a week, and you do what you're supposed to do, and then do whatever you want the rest of your life. So they're coming from a society, a religion, where there's no attention paid to detail. U'kishayishma mitzvahs yiseiros chelanu. And when they find out that we have all these extra mitzvahs, v'akalos shebehen, even the simple ones, but the ones that govern the minutia of life, yomer belibo, kame dikdukin heim nidaktikim v'lo tzorech. These people are OCD. They do all these funny things for no apparent reason. The answer bow, and then he'll have second thoughts. So he may not be discouraged by the achilas chaylev and the shmir shabbos and the taras hamishpacha, but he'll be discouraged by the brachos and the netilas yadayim and the simple things that we take for granted that govern our everyday life. The achirach medino soyas achamuros and medino lo she anut tzrichin levaz beis mamonus v'manos aniyim. Why do we talk about Lekha Shechopeya? So Lekha Shechopeya is Manos Aniyim. So we also have this thing about Staka. Mimnei Shagoyim Mamonim Chavav Aleim B'Yoser. So the non-Jews like their money. Kamosh Amru Ben Noach Naragal Pachas Mishavar Pruta Veino Nitan Lishavam V'Shem Yachas Al Mamonu V'Yachsor. So when we tell them that there's also this this Manos Aniyim requirement that you have to give tzedakah, so maybe that's also going to convince them to have second thoughts because they're not used to the notion of tzedakah. I think we live in a society where there's more of a general acceptance of charity. But the society that you were talking about, that apparently wasn't the case. Okay. So the Gemara concludes, as we said, Shihuya mitzvah lo mashinan. So once we determine that everything's in place, that a gerus should proceed, we shouldn't delay, we should do it right away. Shihuya mitzvah lo mashinan. So is there actually a mitzvah lekabel gerim? What Sifat Shulchan Aruch is that? What pasuk is that? What's this Shihuya mitzvah lo mashinan? So the Rambam's minyan mitzvahs, we don't have a mitzvah kabbalas gerim. Our Abdesdin, Rabbi David of Schwartz, the Shadav Rafur Shlema, points out, he actually printed this, he published a few years ago a small kuntris called Avas Hager, Converts to Judaism and Our Relationship to Them, 2010, published by the CRC. So he points out, he used to point this out, Balbeh, and now it's in print, so we can quote what's in print, that there's a Sefer Kol Tzof Ayach written by Rav Yehuda Gershuni. So in the Sefer Kol Tzof Ayach, pages 403 to 405, he quotes the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz wrote Zohar HaRakia. The Tashbetz of Zohar HaRakia is a commentary on the mitzvos of Rav Shlomo Ibn Gaviro. Some of even Gviro wrote a Sadya Golan style song or piyut, which is reflective of the minyan mitzvos. And the Tashbetz wrote a Zohar Rakia, which probably made the piyut of some of even Gviro more famous, which is a chibur on minyan mitzvos. So in the Zohar Rakia, he asks, why did Shlomo Ibn Gviro not include the mitzvah of Kabbalas Gerim in the Minyan HaMitzvos? You know, Shlomo Ibn Gviro does not have Kabbalas Gerim in the Minyan HaMitzvos, and the Zohar Rakia asks, why not? So he doesn't answer why not, but he just points out that it sounds like if he was making a Minyan HaMitzvos, which I guess was below his pay grade, he was only commenting on an existing one, but if he were to make a Minyan HaMitzvos, he would have included Kabbalas Gerim, and he wonders why Shlomo Ibn Gviro didn't include Kabbalas Gerim in his Minyan HaMitzvos. Avi.
Say that name again, sorry. Shlomo Ibn?
Gaviro.
Spain.
So Rabbi Gershuni in this Kol Tzof Ayach, as well as Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perlo in his footnotes on the Sefer Mitzvos, footnotes in his essays, in his chibur, on the Sefer Mitzvos on Rav Sadia Gaon, so in the end of Mitzvos Asei Yotes, so Rabbi Ruchem Fishel Perlo and Rabbi Gershuni suggest that maybe the mitzvah of Kabbalas Gerim is included in the mitzvah of, what would you say? That's what you would have said? That's not what he says? I'm sorry? That's not what he says? That's not what he says? Avos Hashem. Good. So he says maybe it's included in the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. Where did that come from? So there's a Sifri in Parshas of Eschanan, Piska Lamed Beis. Sifri writes the following: the Ahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha Avaso Al Abrios Ke'Avram Avicha. So you should promulgate Avas Hashem upon humanity like Avram Avinu. Ke'inyan Shenemar Ve'Sanefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. Valo in this kansim kol baya olam livros yitosh echad lahaknis bo neshama einim yicholim. So if all the people in the world would get together and try to create a mosquito and give it the breath of life, they wouldn't be able to. Elam alam, so what does it mean? Esenefesh yeshu esubacharan. He wasn't making golems. Elam alam meichaya Avram Avinu megayram umachnisim tachas kanfei shchina. So it doesn't mean that Avram Avinu was cloning or creating people or making golems. It means that he was converting people and bringing them tachas kanfei Hashchina. So that's a nefesh asher asu b'charan. So what's avas Hashem? Avas Hashem is if you love something like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos. If you love something so much, then you want to share it with others. You want to promote it. That was the task of Avraham Avinu, that his Avas Hashem was reflected in promoting God awareness to the rest of the world. And that's a kiyum of Avas Hashem. Now the Rambam, when he quotes the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvos Asei Gimel, the Mitzvah of Avas Hashem, the Rambam quotes the Sifri as a source for what Avas Hashem means. That's the suggestion of Rebbe Chaim Fishel Perlo, that maybe the Mitzvah Kabbalas Geirim is subsumed under Avas Hashem. That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu channeled his Avas Hashem into Kabbalas Geirim, into promoting awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaNefesh HaShira Subacharan. So that is subsumed under Avas Hashem. Rebbe Chaim Fishel Perlo also quotes from the Ria Barceloni that maybe the mitzvah of Kabbalas Geirim is included in Avas Hager. The mitzvah of Avas Geirim, Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs Reitz Zayin. So part of Avas Geirim is being Megayer people. You can't love them if they're not Geirim, and you can't make Geirim if you're not Megayer them. So maybe Kabbalas Geirim is subsumed under the mitzvah of Avas Hager. There's a mashmos to that in the Tosfos HaRosh in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Zayin Mebeis, the end of Rabbi Elazar de Mila, so there the Gemara discusses Milas Geirim, which we'll discuss on its own merits as we go further in the Slimut. So the Gemara there says, Hamal Es Hager Mevarech Asher Kedishad Mitzvot Sivanu Lamal Es Hagerim V'chule, then there's a more extensive Nusach HaBracha. So the Gemara says that you say a bracha of lomel es hagerim. So the Tosfos HaRosh implicitly is bothered. Kuf lamed zayin amabez dibur maskel hamal. Shabbos kuf lamed zayin amabez dibur maskel hamal. The Tosfos HaRosh is implicitly bothered. What's this hashir kedushanim mitzvah savit sivan olam es hagerim? Where's the mitzvah? Where does it say in the Torah that you have to be mal gerim? Heichan sivan. So the Rosh says, Hamalos Hagerim Omer Asher Kedushan Mitzvah Mitzivan Lomos Hagerim Ki Nitzavinu Lehov Es Hagerim. There's a mitzvah of Avos Hager V'Efshar Lios Ger B'lo Mila. So you have to love a ger, and you can't be a ger without Mila. So being Mal Es Hager is part of the tzivui of Avos Hagerim. It sounds like Kabbalas Geirim is part of Avas Hager. If you look in the Tshuvas Dvar of Ram, Kavna Rav, Chelik Beis, Simin Kav Hei Os Aleph, Chelik Beis, Simin Kav Hei Os Aleph. So Dvar of Ram points out that maybe Milas Geirim is a mitzvah chiyuvis as opposed to a mitzvah chiyumis. That there's no mitzvah to run after people in the street and be mal them l'shem geirus. It would probably be a bad idea and probably a prosecutable offense. But if someone comes to you and expresses interest in converting and they're sincere, so then there's a mitzvah to facilitate that through mila sager. Okay, so these are the two major possibilities discussed by some, that if there is a mitzvah of Kabbalas Geirim, it should be a mitzvah of Mashinan, either it's subsumed under Avas Hashem, or it's subsumed under Avas Geirim. So there does seem to be, these two valid perspectives on vetting prospective Geirim. There is a perspective of Dechia, but that is balanced by the Bateraki Misametzes, dealing with someone who is indeed sincere and facilitating the geiris of people who deserve to be Megayer. There's just an interesting marmakam, the Ibn Ezra, and the parsha of Hakel, Dvarim Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. So who gathers for Hakel? Hager Shebekerbecha. So we would have said, who's Hager Shebekerbecha? Ger Tzedek, someone who converts. We have that often. You have to figure out every time the Torah singles out ger, So what's a havamina that a ger would have been excluded? So sometimes there are havaminas, maybe a ger would have been excluded from Korban Pesach, other mitzvahs. But the pashtus is, so you'd have to figure out what's a havamina that a ger would be excluded from Hakel. But a ger shebekerbecha means that that gerim are included in Hakel. Menezer writes, a ger shebekerbecha ula yisyahed. Maybe he'll decide to become Jewish. So it sounds like the Ibn Ezra is referring to a ger toshav. The ger shebe kerbecha refers to a ger toshav. And the ger toshav is invited to Hakel because we're interested in encouraging them possibly to convert. That's an interesting marmakam. It brings to mind the Gemara Masech and Pesach and Mebez, Reb Elazar's statement that the reason that we're in Galus is Kadeshi Tosra Leim Gerim, that somehow there's this notion that in order for the final Gula to come, there have to be certain Gerim that are going to join the Jewish people. So even though in general we don't encourage, or we definitely don't solicit Gerim, we're a non-proselytizing religion, but there are some marmakamos that do seem to indicate an interest on some level in having and perhaps promoting Geirus. And some of this we'll come back to as we go on. Okay. Now, are there situations where the balance between Kabbalah and Dechia is somewhat tilted? I mean, are there situations where the orientation towards Dechia is less pronounced than in the standard default case? There seems to be a certain baseline orientation towards Dechia, but maybe that kind of Dechia is less pronounced under certain circumstances. So there is a correspondence in the 1860s that was precipitated by letters written by Rabbi Bernard Eloi, who at the time was a rabbi in New Orleans. Rabbi Eloi was one of my heroes of American Jewish history. He was a musmach of the Chasam Sofer, and also had a doctorate from the University of Budapest. I don't think too many of the Chasam Sofer's Talmidim got doctorates. And somehow he ended up on the wrong side of the counter-revolutionaries, the revolutionaries in the War of 1848, and he was forced to come to America. In America, he took numerous rabbinic positions. I think he was in Rochester at a point, and then he was in Baltimore. And in the beginning of the Civil War in Baltimore, he gave this very stark drasha in favor of secession. The Baal Batim were so impressed by that drasha that they offered him the Shteller in New Orleans, which was in the Deep South, because they were very impressed with his anti-union rhetoric. So he ended up becoming a Rav in New Orleans. New Orleans, I think, was the first major southern town that fell to the Union early on in the Civil War. So then I think eventually he sympathized with the Union again, and eventually B'Sof Yamov was in Cincinnati, and he's buried in Cincinnati. So he's a fascinating person. His son collected his ksavim and published a volume of his tshuvas and the letters, correspondences, the stuff that he wrote in the American English journals of the time, like The Occident and the Messenger, the Jewish papers of the time, and also correspondences with Gedolim in Europe. He corresponded with Rosham Shonafral Hirsch, he corresponded with Rabbi Nathan Adler in London. He was the one who was famous for bringing the question of the kashrus of the Muscovy duck to the attention of the world. He writes that when he got to New Orleans, he saw there were all these funny ducks that were waddling around, and the Jews were shechting them and eating them. And he was bothered what Mesorah is there for the Muscovy duck, so he corresponded with the Gedolim in Europe, and the original psakim that the Muscovy duck is not kosher, which is the practice of American Jewry out of Yom Hazeh, that we don't accept the kashrus of the Muscovy duck, was because of the work of Robert Eloi. He writes that when he got to New Orleans, the first year he was there, there were only two sukkahs in the entire town, and by the second year, there were 40-something sukkahs, and he had a tremendous hashpa on increasing the observance. So one thing that he noticed in New Orleans was there was something called intermarriage. And there were many Jewish men that were married to non-Jewish women. So the kids were definitely not Jewish, but the Jewish men wanted their children to have a bris milah. So the molim in town would be mal the children of non-Jewish mothers and Jewish fathers. And there was no, we'll talk about ger katan when we get there, there was no havamin of any geris, so it wasn't in the cards at all. These people were not living an observant lifestyle at all. The mothers had no interest in converting, but the fathers wanted the kids to have a milah. So Rabbi Lowy was very against this practice, and he wrote, he issued a kol kore, a cherem, he banned the local molim from performing milos on the children of such unions. And that created a whole tarab in the media. So there were articles back and forth in the Occident and the Messenger, and the Occident was in Philadelphia, the Jewish Messenger was in New York, and the Jewish journals of the time. So to defend his position, he wrote to Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer for support. And this spurned a correspondence between Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer and Rabbi Zvi Shkalischer as to what to do, whether that was appropriate to prohibit the molim from being mal these children. So in the course of that correspondence between Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer and Rabbi Zvi Shkalischer, Rabbi Zvi Shkalischer is famous for his Drishas Tzion, for the work advocating potentially rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash advocating bringing Korbanos in the Makam HaMikdash B'Zmanaseh, and the correspondence of Kivager and the Chasson Sofer. So Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer and Rabbi Zvi Shkalischer have this correspondence about this Shaila. It's printed in Shuvas Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer Simanim Reish Kavtes to Reish Lamed Beis. So in the course of this correspondence, they discuss whether there's any halachic status to the child of a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother. So they're definitely not halachically Jewish, but are they a little bit Jewish? Are they something? So Rav Zvi Shkalischer argued that maybe these children have a status of Zer Yisrael. The Pasuk in Ezra refers to Zer Yisrael in the context of the rampant intermarriage that existed in the time of Ezra. So there's this suggestion, which maybe we'll talk about later on, there's a suggestion that the child of such a union of a Jewish father and non-Jewish mother has some status of Zer Yisrael. And in context there, maybe that would allow for performing a milah. And Rabbi Zvi Hildesheimer argues that snapshot in the pasuk in Ezra is not referring to Zer Yisrael, doesn't mean the union of a Jewish father and non-Jewish mother. It refers to the proper Zer Yisrael of, but not of a non-Jewish mother. So he discounts any such notion. But what emerges from this correspondence is the possibility that Rabbi Zvi Shkalischer discusses, that maybe if you have someone who comes from a Jewish background, a Jewish father, non-Jewish mother, but there's a certain Jewish identity, so maybe the orientation of Dechia is not as pronounced as it would be for someone coming off the street. I mean, because someone comes, presents themselves as interested in Geirus, and they have a Jewish father, so maybe you don't reject them, you don't attempt to dissuade them with the same amount of, or the same degree of your persuasive powers as you would for someone coming from a total non-Jewish background. So that happens to be, on some level, the practice of many Batei Din, that there's a certain orientation that if someone comes with a Jewish identity, even if they're not halachically Jewish, either because they have a non-Jewish father, or maybe their mother had a non-halachic conversion, maybe the mother had a conservative or reformed conversion, so even if we wouldn't accept them as halachically Jewish, but as far as the notion of dechia, so we tamp down, we somewhat limit the kind of dechia that we would engage in.
Do we
have
the
Yeah, so our general practice, again, there's no, we don't accept this formal, at least as a formal process. If you look in Rabbi Reese's article, he tries to justify how maybe implicitly we do have the three dechios, but we don't formally have a checklist docha once, docha twice, docha three times. But to the extent that there is an orientation of dechia, we may notch it down a level when it comes to people coming with Jewish identity. It's definitely the case if someone comes with the status of suffik, meaning there's some suffik as to whether they're Jewish, so then there's no orientation of dechia at all because it's prudent to get them out of that situation of suffik. Yeah.
Is this orientation because they come from a Jewish background or because they are familiar with Judaism? Like, theoretically, if you would have a person...
It's because they come from a Jewish background. That's, even if we don't accept a halachic status as Eretz Yisrael. But the fact that they come from a Jewish background, there's something there already that perhaps we should work with and not push away.
So, meaning, if I could create, two hypothetical people.
Right.
A person who comes from a Jewish background, but the problem is nothing, versus
right.
A person who very not Jewish, like I have from Shaft or Town or whatever, learn a lot about Judaism.
Right.
You would be the former.
Correct. Okay. Right. And this is definitely more strongly the case if you have a suffix or someone. Let's say you have someone who was raised as a Jew and finds out at some later point that there's some shaila in their yuchsin. Maybe they're definitely not halachically Jewish, or they're suffix halachically Jewish, and the mother had a problematic non-Orthodox conversion, or the mother had a conversion with Orthodox rabbis without Kabbalah some mitzvos, or some shiloh like that. So then there's really no orientation of dechia. Then you would it would be appropriate to facilitate the geiris in a again when appropriate a timely fashion. There's a letter that Ramosha wrote, which was printed originally. Printed originally in Moriah, Tavshin Samachay. So that was posthumously printed. Moriah Thomas Tavshin Samachay. And then reprinted in Igros Moshe Volume Tess. So whenever you've quoted volume Tess, it's been with significant caveats. So this is volume Tess. But it's the Tshuva that was printed before volume Tess in Moriah. So Moshe there was asked regarding a young lady from Brazil who was the daughter of a non-Jewish woman but was raised with a strong Jewish identity, went to Jewish schools, was halachically observant, became a Baal Tshuva, in the sense that she thought she was Jewish and now was from, and then realized at some point that she wasn't halachically Jewish. So the question was, what should the orientation of the Beis Din be? And Moshe said that in this case, the Beis Din should be megayer her without question, even where the impetus in this particular case was because now she wants to marry another Jew. So Moshe says, we'll talk about Geirus Hashem Ishus for ulterior motivations. This isn't Geirus Hashem Ishus. This is someone who had a strong Jewish identity, believed herself to be halachically Jewish. Now, in the context of wanting to get married, finds out that she's not halachically Jewish. So that's not what we call, that's not a Geirus for ulterior motivation. That's a Geirus because she really believes herself to be Jewish. And now it just happens to be that the impetus for doing the Geirus now is because she found out that there's an issue in the context of wanting to get married. The bigger question is whether would you have such an orientation of minimizing dechia with the spouse of an intermarried couple? Is you already have a Jew married to a non-Jew civilly, and they're living as husband and wife.
When she decides that later, he wants to convert.
Right. So, do we push that? Do we push them away? Do we encourage that? That was the whole guiding philosophy of the now defunct EJF, Eternal Jewish Family, which was promoting Geirus in the context of intermarriage. So that hasn't been our orientation so much. If someone in that context comes seriously, so we'll take them seriously, but to promote That hasn't been our orientation. But Rav Asher Weiss does have the Rav Asher Weiss's Kolel published one volume on Geirus. I think it's volume 12 of Dark Era. So the whole volume dedicated to Geirus. So Rav Asher has there, this may be in the Tshuvas as well. I forget if it's reprinted in Tshuvas Minchas Asher. But Rav Asher has this notion that you should minimize pushing away an interested party who's already intermarried. So that's a question of matter of degree. You know, what's the orientation of a Beis Din to someone coming in that context? There may be what to talk about in both directions. Our orientation in general has been that the dechiyah there is warranted, but if you get past the dechiyah, then you work with people like that. And we'll talk about this in its own context as we go on. Okay, sorry for keeping you longer than usual. Next time, I think we'll discuss geirus for ulterior motivations, and then we'll discuss halachas that are relevant to a prospective geir during the conversion process.